Welcome to Hearthstone Network, where we bring you true stories, great teachings, and inspirational testimonies that will captivate your spirit. Join us for a journey of resilience, wisdom, and triumph to encourage you through the power of storytelling.
Life is full of challenges, whether it's a scary diagnosis, financial trouble, divorce, relationship issues. We all have hard times. And today, I have a friend that has come to share her story with us. She was given a very serious diagnosis over 30 years ago and told she wasn't going to live many times, but yet she's still here. Her life has defied the odds at every turn, and she will tell you it is the God of the universe, Jesus Christ, that has kept her here. Her story is incredibly inspiring, and I know you're going to be filled with hope when you hear what she has to say. Her name is Annette Durrett, and you're going to meet her right after this. Welcome back. I really appreciate you joining us today. I want to introduce you to one of my friends because she has a really unusual and inspirational story. So everybody, I want you to meet Annette Durrett.
Annette, hello.
Thanks so much for coming on today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Well, Annette, before we get going into what I'd like to talk about today, why don't you just tell the folks a little bit about yourself, like where you come from, what you've been doing, kids, grandkids, any of that.
Okay. Well, I'm from Baytown.
Baytown, Texas.
Yes. And all my family, I grew up two big families on my mom's side, my dad's side, cousins galore, aunts, uncles. It was a wonderful upbringing place to be. Great. And then I went to UT.
University of Texas
in Austin. I came back to Houston.
Well, now, what'd you get a degree in?
Child development and psychology. Okay. I actually went, believe it or not, on an acting scholarship. I was in theater.
Really?
I think you can imagine that. And so, but then I went into psychology, which probably has some similarities.
Yeah.
So I came back to Houston. I was working. And I met the love of my life at Second Baptist in the singles class.
Yeah.
And Charles and I have been together about 32 years from dating and married. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we raised three beautiful girls.
No grandkids yet, huh?
No, because I don't have any son-in-laws.
Oh, well, hallelujah then.
No grandkids yet.
You know, Annette, one of the things that you're just, I've always said you're like unbelievably inspirational because of the way you have walked and carried a terrible diagnosis you received, what, 32 years ago? Mm-hmm. What diagnosis did you get 32 years ago?
So it was my first job out of college. I was about between 21 and 22 years old, and I was suffering from severe migraines. And so I just had a regular blood test. And the doctor called me and said, okay, don't worry. We think there was a lab mistake. And so they redid the blood test. And then it came back and they said, well, okay, it's not a blood test, but we probably caught it early enough.
What do you mean it's not a blood test?
I mean, it's not a mistake with the blood test. Uh-huh. And we probably caught it early and we're going to treat it. I'm like, what are you talking about? So then I went through 6 months of all this different type of testing, ruling out lupus and tumors and rheumatoid arthritis and different things. And come to find out, you know, I had a very rare blood cancer that I was diagnosed with. And at the time, they had no treatment. They had pretty much, they were just like, we don't know what to do. We're going to wait till you get sick enough to try some stuff on you. Yeah, I've had a lot of diagnoses like that the years.
So how long did you go with that?
Well, actually,
You weren't even married yet, were you?
No.
Okay.
No, actually, they didn't know really what to tell me. The diagnosis has At that time, I had something called essential thrombocytosis. And so a normal person has about 200 to 500 platelets. That's the blood clotting portion of your blood. And I had like 1,500,000.
So you had too many.
Way too many. And so my body was just proliferating, making these immature cells, but they didn't work. And so honestly, I had that for about 17 years. And I was either okay or have a life-threatening condition. So I've lived through pulmonary embolisms. I've had aneurysms. I've had deep vein thrombosis several times.
Now, didn't you tell me that you nearly died, come to the cusp of death, what, like five times?
Yes, well, at least.
How long before, once you got diagnosis, did you really have to start suffering?
First of all, I have to give kudos to my husband. Because as a child, really all I ever wanted to be was a mom. And I played with my dolls all the time. Mm-hmm. And before my husband married me, we went to all the doctors. And they told us I would not be able to have children. But he had adopted friends that were his best friends. And he's like, we'll adopt. And so he married me.
I will say you have an extraordinary husband. You do.
Yes. And they, you know, said, we don't know how long she's going to live. You know, it was all these unknowns. Wow. I mean, that has been, to me, my life has been a lesson of trust. Because there's been no one I can go to for an answer.
And so you've lived with, we don't know how long you're going to live, all your life.
Since I was 22.
So 30 some years.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
And I'm still here.
Well, that's why I will say you live like it's your last year. That's the way you live. You travel like crazy, even when you don't feel good. You do ministry. I see that you're trying to do everything you ever wanted to do as quick as you can because you don't know. Wow.
Yes, I have. The first time that I was hospitalized with a life-threatening condition, I had about 6 pulmonary embolisms.
Oh, my gosh.
27-year-old daughter was 6 weeks old. And
So how old were you at the time?
Like, what, 20?
So you were in your 20s.
Or something.
Okay, and this is 27 20. Years ago.
Yes.
And you had a brand new baby.
Yes.
And you came near death.
Yes.
So what was going on between you and God with that 6-week baby at home? Because we skipped. They said you'd never have kids.
Yes.
So how did this baby thing happen?
Well, you know how the baby thing happened, so we won't go into the details about that.
I mean, they told you not to have any.
Right.
Because you couldn't or because you shouldn't?
Because I shouldn't.
Okay. And so did you defy those and say, I'm doing it anyway?
Well, accidentally.
Okay.
So, we discovered we were expecting Ashley. We lived in New York City at the time. Mm-hmm. And I went to my first appointment and they sent me home that weekend to expect a miscarriage. Because, when I got out of college, I did research, longitudinal research on children. Mm-hmm. So a friend of mine and I went to Columbia. We went and pulled all the medical information we could find. I was diagnosed with 2 different disorders that would cause miscarriage. And no one in the medical research had been able to carry a pregnancy. I had complications, but I just continued. I saw 3 doctors a week. And
now, were you afraid this was going to take you out?
I was not afraid it was going to take me out. I was afraid of that I was going to lose the pregnancy. So even then, the Lord taught me to live for today. So when I was 4 months pregnant, we went to the elders of our church and we named our daughter and we dedicated her life to the Lord. Because we didn't know if we would ever meet her.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it was, you know, I just learned very early, like, I'm going to have expectations, but I'm going to take all I can right now. And praise God, she's 27. She is amazing. She's wonderful. I love her. I love her. I love her.
So you never came close to losing her?
Not her. No. No, I didn't. My third daughter, I was taking 2 shots a day of blood thinners during my pregnancy. And at 6 weeks, they said I could stop. And so day one, I stopped. And that's when I wound up in the hospital with the blood clots. And I...
While you were pregnant?
No, she was 6 weeks old.
Oh, okay.
I was in the hospital. Oh. And I am a big scrapbooker. And so I asked Charles, please, please bring me her scrapbook. She's never going to know me. And I want to write her letters.
Oh, my God.
And he was like, no. He refused to bring the scrapbook. He's like, you are going to live. You are going to raise her. You know, I mean, he has been so strong. Obviously, I did. In the first couple of years that she was alive is when I had the clotting issues in my liver. And like I said, the pulmonary emboli and stuff. But at the same time, and I will say during that time, I really, really struggled with the fear of death. I was pretty crippled by the fear of death during those couple of years.
With that new baby at home.
Yes. I feared for her life. I feared for my husband. I feared for my own. I will definitely tell you that my healing, while I'm still waiting for the full physical healing, has been layer by layer by layer of God's faithfulness to me. And I do not fear death. I have not feared death for a long time. And so
tell me, what was the conversation between you and God when that baby was 6 weeks old and you thought it was it?
It was really just so much of the conversation was, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand what's happening. Why would you give me what I always dreamed of and take it away? Mm-hmm. And the theme that has been in my life is the Lord telling me, I am not a man that I would lie. I'm trustworthy. I'm faithful. I'm kind. I'm patient, I'm loving, and my life is a testament to the kindness of the Lord and his patience, because he gives me dreams. He speaks to me through songs. He speaks to me through other people. It's just, he is constantly just reminding me how much he loves me and the plans he has for me. And so when I had... At the same time of going through all these struggles, I got to the point that it drove me that, okay, God, I can't read about any more miracles in the Bible. I want to know you as the miracle-working God. I don't want to just read about what you did in the scriptures. I need it to be real in my own life. Mm-hmm. And that started... I would say 25, 26 years ago, a passionate pursuit of intimacy with the Lord. And I wouldn't change that for the world. Wow. I wouldn't change the circumstances that drew me to learn to trust him.
Wow, that's a big statement. Well, so after you recovered from this embolism and everything, when your daughter was 6 weeks old, did you... get better, or what happened after that?
Yes, we came back to Houston to be near our family. My husband finished Columbia Business School. We came back.
Your husband, you mean, finished, or you did?
He did. He had decided to go to Columbia while we were living in New York. We came back, and that was, again, kind of off and on. Like, I was having situations where I had liver failure from blood clots in my liver. And so it was like, literally, I'm okay, and one little thing happens, and it's life-threatening. So we went through that for about 2 years. And that's during that time, I had some other friends that had been through some tragedies. And together, we all were just like, we need the Lord. And there was a church, a local church, Victory Christian Center, on Friday nights. They had what was called a soaking service. And so you went for like 3 hours. It would just be worship, a small lesson, and prayer. And so many nights of me being there, it was just the Lord just confirming his love for me. And just, it was the first time in my life maybe I'd seen visions, you know, just that I would be praying to the Lord and he would just show me a picture of encouragement. And I think I shared this story with you before. One of the times that I was praying, you know, I was asking the Lord to heal me because he had put the desire in my heart for more children. And the first time I went to that church, the pastor told me, I'd never met him before, and he said, the Lord has heard your prayers, and he's going to give you more children, but he's going to heal you first. And I was so blown away that the God of the universe cared enough about me to tell this man to tell me, I'm listening to your prayers. Mm-hmm. And I've never prayed the same since then. Wow. Because I pray believing he's listening.
Wow. Well, I guess all the doctors were just totally speechless that you actually carried a baby.
Yes, yes. In fact, you know, my OBGYN was saying, oh, I'm going to write you up in the medical, you know, journals. I said, well, you better put me on there because I did all your research for you. I brought them all the research. So anyway, I don't know if they ever did that or not. But
how did you get your second baby?
Okay. So again, my life being just a picture of the Lord, you know, encouraging me. One of these times I was praying for the Lord, I had this picture of Charles and Ashley, my oldest, and I. We were like dancing around, holding hands, kind of like singing Ring Around the Rosies, mm-hmm. or whatever. And there were two other children in the circle. And so I was like, okay, what is this? And during my pregnancy with Ashley, another thing I do is stand on the word of God. Mm-hmm. And in Psalms, it says he makes the barren mother a happy mother of children. And so I was like, well, I feel like the Lord is going to give it. He gave us this desire for more children. He's going to provide. And so every step of the way, Charles and I, we just prayed and we asked the Lord. This is the funniest story. So we were trying to decide, okay, Lord, what direction do you want us to go? So we made an appointment with three of my doctors. All three doctors looked us in the face and said, whatever you do, do not get pregnant. Whatever you do, do not.
Because why?
Because of the blood cancer.
I mean, did they think it would hurt you?
Me, yes. Okay. For my health.
Okay.
And so we decided, the Lord provided for us to adopt through Gladney Adoption Agency through Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my middle daughter, Abby's birth mom.
And even though you had cancer, they let you adopt?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is and that kind of unusual?
I don't know. I'm telling you right now, there were so many miracles surrounding our adoption of Abby. It's even written in the Gladney magazine.
Oh, wow.
Because she was born in a state that wasn't very adoption friendly. But the doctor who delivered her birth mother's doctor was out of town. And the doctor who delivered her was a Gladney mom who had adopted from Gladney. And the day she came in to be induced, someone from Gladney went, and at that time, you made a profile, you made a scrapbook of your life, and her birth mom looked at three families, and I talked to her on the phone, and Abby was born that night, and the next morning, her birth mom called me and said she had chosen me.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said, like, the nurses could hear me screaming because I was so happy.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we went out of state, and we got her and loved her as our own. She is our own. She's and another thing that was so cool about that story is that I was at a Bible study I attended, and the woman there said to me, who didn't know me, she said, "You're going to have a child born of your spirit, not of your body." Uh-huh. And it was those 2 years on my knees crying to the Lord.
For a baby?
For a child.
Wow.
Yep. And so Abby Doodles.
She can never say she wasn't wanted.
She was very wanted. Wow. Very, 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 so, very, very well, wanted.
Did your sickness, disease progress after that?
Yes. Again, it was... you know, it was definitely times where, yes, I got ill again. The next major time, when Abby was a year old, we found out we were expecting our daughter, Brooke. Uh-oh. So we had to go back to those three doctors and say.
And they had a fit?
They had a fit.
Did they try to get you to eliminate the pregnancy?
They had, yeah. I mean, they definitely, it was a conversation, and I was absolutely not. And so here we go. Now, she did have to be taken 7 weeks early to save me.
Really? Because?
I had developed a huge blood clot, even on blood-thinning shots twice a day. And so the doctor that performed the C-section said, "I burned, I cut, I tied your tube, so you're not having any more children."
Did you know he was going to do that?
No. I mean, kind of in a stupor, they asked me, could they? And my husband was like, yes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Oh, wow. So anyway, was there a risk of taking her 7 weeks early? Or?
Well, yes. I mean, she was in the NICU.
Was that a hard decision?
It wasn't really a decision. It had to be done, so... the doctors assured me she was going to be fine, was developed enough, because I had been taking medication to develop her earlier, because it was always a risk.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. They can give you medication to develop the lungs. So
how much did she weigh when she was born?
Gosh, you would ask me that.
I mean, like, I know 4 pounds she
was
or something?
Like, yeah, she was like a bruiser in the NICU. I mean, she was like, you know, 3-4 pounds. She was twice the size, you know, so.
A bruiser.
And we laughed because she got jaundice all the time and liked to suntan. We were like, oh, she's got her goggles on, suntanning, which she still likes to do.
So now your kids are all grown. Like the youngest is how old?
She is 21.
Wow.
21, 23, and 27. And what is so awesome. Well,
right there, you've just beat all the odds.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You beat the odds and you're still here.
I have beat the odds.
Many times.
17 and a half years ago, I found out on a regular routine visit, my hematologist had retired, so I started going to MD Anderson. And I found out through the testing that the blood cancer had progressed to the next level.
Which is?
It's called myelofibrosis. And at that time, this was 17 and a half years ago, they gave me a 3 to 5 year prognosis.
To live. Mm-hmm.
And my girls, I think Ashley was starting kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what happened between you and God when you came home from that doctor visit?
I was in shock. I was in shock, but this time I was in shock, but I had seen so many miracles already. I had seen these daughters of mine, they said, that would never be here, you know, born. I had recovered from situations that I shouldn't have already. And so I did have to battle the fear of death again, but I came from a higher place of victory, you know, in that I had this track record with God that he had done these things for me. And I mean, I definitely had a reoccurrence of the liver issues. I have had times when I have been very ill. And then when my girls were like in middle school, I had a miraculous remission. And I felt like I had been given like a second lease on life.
Blood cancer doesn't go in remission.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't get better.
Okay.
It doesn't. So it's progressive.
Well, how long was the remission?
About 5 years.
Okay.
And during that 5 years, I just took the bulls by the horn. And we went to India. We went to Haiti.
Oh, you went everywhere.
We went everywhere. I was like, the Lord has given me this reprieve. We didn't have to go to the doctor all the time. I wasn't ill. I mean, some of the times when my daughters were in elementary, all I could do was get them to school, come back home and lay down all day, and then go get them back from school. And so I had energy. I just, you know, we, like I said, it was like, people look at me as like, do you ever stay home? And I was like, you know what? I'm trying to make all the memories of a lifetime as fast as I can, because I don't know if I'm going to be here.
I know. I know. I travel a lot, but I don't travel anything compared to you. I mean, you know, I talk to you one day, and then the next week you're in Hong Kong or whatever. It's nonstop. But every time you do, I smile, because I know you're, you know what? I think you're going to live a long life, but you're going to have two lifetimes in one. Because, but it's a lesson to see your life, to think we should all be living like that. We should all be grabbing the bull by the horns, sucking the most out of life. You know what I mean? So when you found out, how many years ago did you find out that the remission was over? I know this has been since I've known you.
Yes.
So it hadn't been too many years ago.
Right. I don't know what happened. I would say maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I think, when I went back and it just started kind of, the numbers started changing and creeping back and stuff.
How did you feel that? Must have been
heartbroken. Confused. Oh. Yes, definitely confused. I was confused. And actually, our friend Bina helped me kind of look at things, because I was struggling with, well, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong that it came back? And she said, you know, what if it was a gift from God, that time that you were able to not fight that battle for a while?
Wow. Just hold the curtain back.
Yes. And she's like, what did you do during those years? I said, I discovered God is everywhere. I discovered he is on the trash dumps. He's in India, on the trash dumps in Thailand. Mm-hmm. He's there in the red light district where people have been discarded and thrown away. God's there. Mm-hmm. And he sent me there to love on those people and tell them he sees them and he loves them. And I was thinking, well, surely he is in my house. He's in any hospital bed I'm in. Mm-hmm. If he'll go to the ends of the earth to send me to tell people he loves them, he loves me too.
That's true. So where are you now with your illness?
Well, now I have been rejected from the cure. The cure is a stem cell transplant, which really only has about a 45% chance of working past 5 years anyway. And it's a very risky procedure with what I have. I am doing experimental things, some better than others. Definitely some of their cures have made me way sicker than if I was just left alone. But I'm actually doing stem cells right now that seem to be, I don't know. I mean, I think my hair is thicker and my inflammation is down. I'm not in pain.
Wow. Well, I think stem cells are awesome. I sat next to a woman a few weeks ago on a plane who 7 years ago was diagnosed with cancer with no help, and they gave her a dose of stem cells, and here she is, no cancer.
I am very excited and was very, I'm number seven in the study, and I'm
now,
really.
What does the number seven mean biblically?
Completion. You know, and it's like, I just, you know, the Lord says that he'll complete the good work that he started. And I just, you know, I just decided years ago that I don't have to have a piece of paper to say that I'm healed, to live like I'm healed. I'm just going to, you know, I pray one day I have that piece of paper to build everyone else's faith. Mm-hmm. But my faith is that God knows me. He has a plan for me. He knows the number of days of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to believe him.
Yeah. So are you afraid to die?
No.
How come?
Well, because I know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the instant I die, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. I mean, as kind and loving as he's been to me here on earth, I'm going to get to wrap my arms around Jesus.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I have a mother and a grandmother and a grandfather and so many family and friends that I'm going to get to be with. And I always laugh and say, I'm going to be on the loud side of heaven because I'm going to be with the tambourines and the flaggers. And the I'm going to be on the loud side. And so, you know, my husband has said, you know, it's sometimes it's been hard for him to see me go down through the years, you know,
like physically
to go down. But the Lord showed me it's like the Psalms of Ascent. I'm not going down. I'm going up. The closer I get to when I die, I'm going up to the throne room of God. I'm not going down. And so I know that one day it's going to come. I mean, I'm only human. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to hurt.
And you're like, you're 50,
55. Yeah, and I never thought I would see my children, you know, in middle school. And my baby is about to graduate college. And she wants to go on the mission field. She's going to be a missionary. And my oldest daughter, she is a CPA, but feels the Lord calling her to be a Christian counselor.
Oh.
And she shared that she really wants to help families that have dealt with diagnoses and long-term illnesses to have hope.
She would certainly know about that.
Yes, she definitely knows. And then Abby, my middle daughter, she's still just waiting to see what the Lord has for her. But she works at a coffee shop now and for you. And she touches people and prays for people and lights people's lights up, their life up every day. And I'm just so, I just tell them that I hope my ceiling is their floor.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I think every mom hopes that.
Yeah.
Well, Annette, the thing about you is, you know, whenever I see you, you're always laughing and smiling and all bubbly. Is that fake or are you that way?
Oh, no. I mean, I definitely don't take myself too seriously. That's for sure.
Well, how do you laugh all the time and stay so happy having to live with such a heavy illness? Because your illness could progress to the next stage.
Oh, absolutely.
Which would be what?
Acute myeloid leukemia.
Okay.
Which usually, that's not a very good diagnosis.
Okay.
So the thing about it is, my illness is not who I am. It's something, it's a battle that I fight, and it's a part of me, but it's not who I am. I'm a daughter of the Most High King. I'm a child of God, and I finally know it. Wow. I spent half my life looking for love in all the wrong places, and I found my love. I found that I am loved, and I don't have to do anything to deserve it. He says I deserve it, and he loves me, and I can trust him, and I feel like maybe for the first time in my life, I have such security in where I'm at. And I think it's from recently, I went on 2 mission trips to Brazil, and then I went to Cambodia again. And both of those trips, I didn't do anything extraordinary. I was just me. But the Lord, through me, touched people and encouraged people and loved people. And I even saw people healed. And it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. It was me just asking, Lord, you know, like that river that flows from his throne. Mm-hmm. Well, that same river flows through me, because he says out of my inner being will flow rivers of living water. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, okay, Lord, is this river of life is flowing through me? Can it just splash on my little body here? Just splash on my body and fix all these things, you know? But that's not where the river comes from. The river doesn't come from this clay vessel. Mm-hmm. It comes from the throne room of God.
Yes.
So even if this vessel's got cracks and creaks and isn't working that well, that's not the source. Mm-hmm.
So my guess is you stopped asking, why do I have this cancer, a long time ago?
Yes, I did. Because it doesn't matter, because, I mean, it's all for his glory. If it's the glory of you lived in spite of it, or if it's the glory that it went away, it doesn't matter. He still gets the glory.
Wow. Wow. Well, I think for those of you listening, you can understand why I said Annette is inspirational, because, wow, I know I'm really inspired today. And, you know, if anybody wants to reach out to Annette to talk to her, or you're having your own struggles, I know she'd be happy to reply to you. You can reach out to her at contact@heartstonenetwork.com, contact@heartstonenetwork.com, and those messages will go to Annette. And Annette, I know you'll reply, because you love to encourage people and share your experiences. Well, I really appreciate you driving out here today to see us. Well, I'm encouraged. I really am. I loved hearing your story today and talking to you, so thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
So anyway, we will be back next time, and you can find the Sandra Heartstone Show wherever podcasts are available. I guess that's like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever. Anyway, thanks so much, and I want to end by encouraging you to do what Annette did. Draw in, search for that intimacy with God, because he does love you more than you'll ever know. We will see you next time.